This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Advantage Insurance, Burger King, Central Bank, Commonwealth Bank, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, Nightlife Entertainment, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Ron's Electric Motors, Wendy's, and Wilmax Pharmacy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Funnily enough, I've been talking for about 2 minutes, and my mic wasn't connected, so let's start over. We were going to have Simeon Hall today, Chef Simeon Hall Jr. today, but we had a bit of a scheduling conflict, so he'll be here tomorrow. We'll talk about some of these things. But even if he did come today, I wanted to get into today as well, in addition to food, and talk about, you know, the nation, community, et cetera. So we had another child killed last night on the streets of the Capitol. Let me explain the information to you so that we all are on the same page with it. We unfortunately didn't get a lot of information out of police. We do partner with the police quite frequently, and it's imperative that we get the right information so that the public can be properly informed. But it said a 4-year-old child was shot and killed last night. The latest round of violence to plague the New Providence. All right. I'll give you the official police version of what went down. All right. 1 second, let me pull it up. So I don't want to get anything mistaken here. So this is what the police say happened. It says that's a 47-year-old guy. My understanding is he was on bail. It says the incident occurred shortly before 10 p.m. and resulted in the death of a 4-year-old male child. Preliminary reports indicate that the child was with his parents in the West and Fleming Streets area when they observed two males, both of whom were armed with handguns, firing gunshots at another male while running past their vehicle. The child was subsequently shot and was taken to the hospital where he succumbed to his injuries. Presently, the intended target, a 27-year-old male of Fleming Street, is in police custody and is assisting with this investigation. Police wish to remind parents and guardians, relatives, and friends that crime affects everyone. Do your part to reduce the incidence of violence by anonymously reporting crime, encouraging your children to adhere to the laws of the land, providing them with conflict resolution skills, and engaging them in positive youth activities. All right, I agree with everything police said. We would like to know who was the one who shot the child. Was it the guys who were shooting at the one fellow in custody, or was the guy in custody shooting back, it's important that we make these distinctions. All right. So we have, and I'm going to let you hear some of the family talking about this. The four-year-old boy is named Kenton Seymour Jr. You can see his picture if you go on the official Nassau Guardian Facebook page. Let's listen to a bit of, I'm going to do this. So just a very short clip of his aunt. Good Lord, can I not do the video? Hold on, I got you.
I can't, talk. Honestly, I can't. Talk. The things I would say would not be. I can't talk. I want justice for my nephew. That's all I want. These people are trying to let them out, but these angry boys went on. They're killing children, they're killing innocent people, and they letting them out on bail and thing. But angry boys are doing the same thing. They do not deserve this at all. Innocent children, I just want justice. I can't talk.
All right. So that's Christelle Thompson. She's the aunt of the four-year-old. And I think what she's alluding to is the fact that a lot of these guys are getting out on bail and they are conducting themselves however they want, executing their wars in the street. So I'm going to read, before we get into this conversation, I'm going to read something to you. So this child, all right, Kenton Seymour Jr., again, his picture's on the official Nassau Guardian Facebook page. He's an adorable little fellow. He's dead now, right? Because, and I want to read this so we're not mistaken. He's dead because grown men believe that the streets of New Providence are their arena and they will seek to kill each other no matter who else gets hurt. All right. So this is a four-year-old child now that is going to be buried. How a parent gets over something like that, I don't know. I don't know that you do. We had last month, remember when I told me it wasn't their fault? It wasn't the people's fault and people in the community fault who are doing this activity. Y'all told me it was like all these other factors and socioeconomic rah, 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 right? But here's the thing, all right? These children are continuing to die while we talk about socioeconomic factors, right? Programs, et cetera. And I heard Carlos Reed on Dwight's show this morning. He's absolutely right. You need programs. You need to funnel the youth into stuff. And that's absolutely necessary. We must do that. However, we've got a situation where we have people who aren't going to be joining community programs, who are engaged in a death style, if you will, of violence and drug dealing and killing, and who increasingly do not care anymore about not only the lives of their ops, as it would be, but the lives of innocent people. Remember the lady going to church? She got killed. Yes? You remember the guy walking through Kemp Road last month, the 13-year-old boy, the LW Young student, he got killed. All right. We have increasingly younger and younger people are being charged with crimes, are being the victims of crime. All right. We've had children killed before. And we sit here and we go, what is the government doing? What's the government going to do? But we need to realize that, and maybe the government needs to realize this too, you're going to have to take drastic action. So here's the thing. You demonstrate what you're about, and I'm not talking about the government itself, I'm talking about as a nation. So you demonstrate what it's about by your priorities. So you can tell what's important to people because they prioritize what's important to them or not, right? So what is my priority, all right? And when do my priorities hash out in terms of what I believe is an emergency, what I believe is something that's important and or necessary, and what I believe is something that I can just take my time with, all right? So I'm gonna go priorities as a nation. So under the emergency category, I'm gonna just do emergency for now. Emergency category I'm going to do economy and crime. And the two aren't necessarily linked together because the illegal drug trade doesn't necessarily rise and fall on economic growth or contraction. The drug guys are still in business because they're not subject to regular market forces, maybe supply chain issues. So economy and crime, I think we can agree that as a nation, not as a government, as a nation, those are emergencies, okay? When four-year-old children are getting killed in the crossfire of these lunatics trying to murder each other, and I know they didn't have a job opportunity, so what's left is to go source guns and ammunition and drugs and track each other down and murder each other because we won't offer them good jobs, yeah, after they dropped out of high school. Listen to me. Let me read this that somebody sent me so I can help you. So these criminals have the run of things, and we keep talking about what the government is going to do. And I think that we're not quite ready for what the government needs to do. And I don't know if the government's ready for what they need to do, because when something becomes an emergency, you start to sacrifice other things, right? So for instance, y'all told me, and I'll get some texts because you guys can't admit when you messed up, even in retrospect. Y'all told me that it was an emergency that coronavirus was in the country. Yes? And a vast number of you, me not among them, were perfectly fine saying we're going to give up our freedom to move. We're going to give up our freedom to make a living. We're going to give up our freedom to go outside the fence of our homes or face arrest. We're going to give all that up because there's an emergency, right? So the last time I saw anyone act like it was an emergency was with the COVID-19 pandemic. It was a gross overreaction, but that's the last time I saw anyone act like this is an emergency. So a four-year-old child is dead, and I don't know what it takes. I honestly don't. I don't know what it takes anymore for everyone to go, this is an emergency. And people go, well, I don't agree with suspending certain rights and giving police carte blanche to do certain things. I don't want to do that. So it's not an emergency to too many people. It's something that we can get to and we can look at. You go, well, we need more job opportunities. I'm going to wager, because I look in the paper every day where I see hundreds of jobs being advertised, I'm going to wager if we offer the drug dealer armed to the teeth a good paying job at, say, the shipyard, they're going to go choose to deal drugs. That's just the bet I'm taking. Yeah? That's what I'm going to wager. Here's a job. You could come sweep, all right? And we'll pay you a great salary. You ain't got to get trained. We'll train you once you come. Come and start sweeping. We'll train you. You got to be to work for 8, and you don't get off till 4. I'm going to wager the drug dealer's going to go try to deal drugs. 9 times out of 10, because this is the lifestyle they chose, right? They may not have had many options and opportunities, but I've seen people who come from abject poverty that you tell me is a recipe for crime. I've seen people who come from abject poverty, refuse to do any of that, and try to make a living, even if they're miserable the entire time. They'd rather do that than die or go to prison, which is where you're going. If you're engaged in this lifestyle, you guys, the only time y'all live past 50, and I'm being generous, is when you go to prison for a very long time who are engaged in this lifestyle. There's no retirement plan. Yeah. There's none of that. You're going to die. And the reason I believe that they've stopped caring is because they too realize they're likely going to die. So why not? If I have no priority to preserve my own life, other than if someone's trying to shoot at me, if I have no qualms about taking another life, why do I care about innocent children? See, because we, for so long, and this frustrated me to no end when this kicked off around 2008 or so, we just baked into this narrative that, oh, it's the criminals just targeting the other criminals. And the entire time I was saying, well, that may be true. That's not 100% true, but that may be true in terms of these very crazy gun killings. However, there's going to come a point in time when they get so comfortable killing each other that they're not going to care where they kill each other, how they kill each other, and who stands between them and their target. And we've reached that point, all right? And we reached that point a long time ago, but we weren't willing to admit it. When they killed Emperor Knowles on Milo Butler Highway, they tracked Emperor Knowles from East-West Highway down to Milo Butler Highway to the roundabout that connects Faith Avenue. They were chasing him. They killed him with an AK-47 on the road. All right? This is about 9, 10 o'clock at night, right? And I talked to the officials then, and they said, well, you know, it's gang killings. I said, yeah, but they're killing each other with AK-47s on the street. How long do you think it will be before other people start dying who had nothing to do with it? And it wasn't that long. And here we are now. It's becoming rather regular. All right. So let me read something. So we'll talk about what the government should do, but let me read something because I'm not letting you off no hook. Nobody. Right. And I'll do what I can with me in mind. Here's what someone sent me. This is, things can never get any better in the Bahamas because every time a murder happens, the comments are the government needs to do something. The church needs to do more. Jesus needs to fix it. It's praying time. We need to bring back hanging. The police need to do more. We need foreign police to step in. And it's these half-breed Haitians who are doing all the killing. Here's what you don't hear in any sort of major way. I need to be a better parent. I need to set a proper example for my children. I need to be there for my children. I need to get help for my issues so I can be the parent my child needs. I need to change. And I need to stop encouraging or covering up criminality, when it's always everybody else's responsibility but your own, things will only get worse. All right, we're going to take a break and be back on the other side. Stay tuned.
To think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
When it comes to picking a pharmacy that is convenient, reliable, and puts you first, only one name comes to mind, Wilmax Pharmacy, a team of trusted and trained pharmacists ready to serve and assist you with all your pharmaceutical and over-the-counter needs. We also carry beauty and hair products as well as household and everyday supplies. Open 7 days a week, 7:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. NIV drug plan is accepted. Cut down your wait time. WhatsApp new prescriptions and refills to 817-4067. Visit Wilmax Pharmacy today. Poinciana Drive, opposite University of the Bahamas. Call 323-1037.
The King wants you to take a walk on the tangy side with the all-new Zesty Whopper Collection at Burger King Nassau. Enjoy the classic Zesty Whopper with two types of cheese, zesty sauce, crispy onions, stacked on 100% flame-grilled beef. Or go zesty on our plant-based Whopper and crispy chicken. All three are saucy, crunchy, and flavor, and only available at Burger King Nassau. Visit any of our seven locations and enjoy a Zesty Whopper as a combo or as part of the King's Feast at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
For 25 years, Advantage Insurance has provided coverage for your most prized possessions, offering insurance plans to cover your vehicle, home, business, and boat with customized options that work with your budget. Now, Advantage says thank you to all our loyal customers and business partners over the past 25 years. Call 356-0285 or visit Advantage Insurance on Collins Avenue today. When every dollar counts, count on Advantage. Celebrating 25 years of service.
Nightlife Entertainment and 242 Party, in association with Playhouse Entertainment, invites you to get up close and personal with Jacquees and Tang.
Hey, what it do, you already know who it is. It's the one and only Jacquees.
Boy, Tank, Nassau, Bahamas, I will be in the building August 6th at the Fusion Courtyard.
For table and section bookings, call or WhatsApp 429-7017.
Ladies, let's get up close and personal.
It's a summer of love, up close and personal with Jacquees and Tang. Fusion Superplex Courtyard, Saturday, August 6th.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Juan McCartney, so good to have you with us. We are talking about the death of the four-year-old, and I do believe that either this will shock the consciousness of the nation, or we'll just start becoming inured to this level of carnage. Because that's when I remember I used to care about the murders. You remember? I used to care about the murders. You guys used to say, well, I'm always talking about murder. These just drug dealers killing each other and y'all don't care and da-da-da-da, right? So, you know, we all stopped caring about the murders. Now children are dying. We're kind of caring again. Well, we cared when six people got murdered because it was just so incredibly heinous. My fear is we get inured to this thing of children dying as if it's some sort of regular thing. And we just keep on keeping on. So what I have noticed, so first of all, I'll say this. Our system of bail makes very little sense to me in terms of violent charges and people being released on very little bail when they have numerous matters pending. And what we're doing is clinging to this philosophical idea of you're innocent until proven guilty, and therefore you can be charged 50 times with murder, and let's just go to the extreme thought, because of our philosophical legal underpinnings, a lot of defense attorneys will get mad at me. Let's go to the extreme side of things where we go, what if they're innocent of it all? What if there's a major conspiracy by the police to target these people and they didn't commit any of these crimes? Da, da, da. Okay. Let's just say that's the case, right? If you're charged with three, four murders, and you have no stable income, no job, no national insurance. If you're not the main breadwinner and can establish that for children who will go needy without you, you're giving them bail to go do what? Is my question. Here's what I'm going to, I saw a couple of people did this recently, right? So Shaka Seville, he's now a magistrate. And he denied recently two young men bail who were charged with murder, attempted murder, and had previously been charged with murder. And he said, the chance of you guys reoffending out there is too great. Shaka Seville is a former defense attorney. All right. And this was the, these were the guys who, Shaka Seville did this, were the guys who were accused of stabbing Chief Superintendent Moreno Hines when he intervened when they were trying to stab somebody, allegedly, over the Independence Day weekend. Remember downtown, that thing that you, they showed you? Here's what it says. It says, in refusing bail, Magistrate Shaka Seville said he believed that Antonio Thompson and Jamal Maycock would reoffend if released pending their trial for grievous harm, wounding, and aggravated assault. All right. So there are people who are starting to understand that this notion that you must be given bail over and repeatedly doesn't make so sense when you keep coming before the court. Now, magistrates have jurisdiction in certain bail matters, and justices have jurisdiction in all other bail matters. Maycock's lawyer, they're also accused of stabbing another guy at the Junkanoo Parade. This is, their names are Antonio Thompson, Jamal Maycock. Okay. The prosecutor, Sergeant Marissa Harvey, objected to bail for the residents of Hay Street on the grounds that they were both on bail for murder when they allegedly committed the offenses. Now, I don't know, I'm not saying everybody who's released on bail, who's wearing an ankle bracelet, because they do that for a lot of different crimes. I'm not saying everybody out there is going to reoffend and should be denied bail and sit in jail forever. What I'm saying is, if you're on now your second murder charge or your attempted murder charge and all this stuff, what are we doing with you on bail? Like, bail is a discretionary thing, right? For violent crimes, you're likely to reoffend in some of these instances. This says, Maycock's lawyer, Jeffrey Farquharson, disputed that he was on bail for murder. According to Farquharson, Maycock was on bail for possession of an unlicensed firearm. In respect to Maycock, Harvey said a previous firearm conviction within the past 5 years also disqualified him from being a candidate for bail. Meanwhile, Thompson's lawyer, Ian Cargill, accepted that his client was on bail for a 2018 murder and attempted murder. Listen to this. For which he's scheduled to be tried in 2025. All right. So we have numerous issues. 2025. 2018 murder. He's scheduled to be tried 7 years later. What do you think the likelihood is that that case is actually going to go to trial? From 2018 to 2025. From 2022 to 2025. So here's where we have issues. And I think we need overhaul of our judicial system. I'm no judicial expert, but I can tell you when something's not working. It's not working. It takes you 7 years to get to a murder trial. I'll give you 18 months, give or take, 18 to 24 months. 7 years, like, that sounds like that makes sense to you? Like, after seven, let's say you murdered someone I know. After 7 years, I may have already been moved on. I don't want to relive that experience. After 7 years, I may have moved to a different country. After 7 years, I may not still be alive. How does that sound like justice? The trial won't start till 2025. The police officer who booked you could be retired or gone. So here's a couple of things I say we should do. We should re-examine the bail guidelines, and you'll have to attack it a different way because the Court of Appeal have ruled against limiting bail and tying judges' hands when it came to bail for certain things, although they were able to do it with the magistrates. So you got to re-examine the bail laws. I'm just talking about what the government can do. So you keep talking about government. There's lots we can do too. And you're going to have to re-examine the jury trial laws. And don't tell me that you can't, because we altered the jury trial laws about 10 years ago in order to change jury trials in a lot of cases from 12 people to 9 people, and in order to not necessarily have a unanimous verdict to result in a conviction. So I'm going to say for murder trials, since we have shown that that's not our strong point, we do have many murder trials because we have many murders, but it's coming to a point where I'm going to say, let's do away with jury trials for murder. This isn't a new thing I'm just pulling out of the air, and people disagree with me on this, especially lawyers. Because lawyers hold to this philosophical belief that we must always protect the integrity of the law, right? And so that's all well and good. But when only one set of people are willing to abide by these rules, it's not a very effective set of rules. All right? So I'd abandon jury trials for murder and manslaughter. I would change the bail laws in order to outline clearly what violations of bail are. You can have a better prison. You cannot do people like you did Ken Dorsett that he detailed so explicitly. You can have better treatment of people. And then I would also examine the government making laws to target specifically these people caught up in gang activity. These laws already exist. They said they were going to re-examine them. I'd be locking y'all up over and over and over. All these tattoos and gang names, y'all, I'd lock y'all up straight through. And we'll charge you real toot sweet, real fast with that. And then I'm going to make sure that those stay in the magistrate's court. I'm going to get more magistrates, and we're going to adjudicate those. Okay? I'm also going to recruit more judges, and then I'm going to change my constitution to increase the retirement age for judges. I'm going to let them serve for life. And I'm going to build a mechanism to get rid of them if they're losing it or have diminished capacity or whatever like this. So I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start targeting gangs heavily. Y'all will be, listen to me. With me, if I'm the prime minister, y'all will be afraid to say any name of any gang out here. Y'all will be, it would be like, y'all have it like Voldemort in Harry Potter, right? Oh, don't say it. Yeah, gang name, gang sign, gang tattoo. No, y'all wouldn't get that. Y'all would run from it. You ever seen, I'm not suggesting do this, but this is extreme. We're going to take a break. Who hasn't seen Tombstone? Who among you out there is living under a rock, does not know good cinema, and has not seen the movie Tombstone with Val Kilmer and Kurt Russell? It says, you dismantled our good PM when he shed some tears for Dominique. You got the wrong person. I dismantled the PM. Y'all just make this stuff up and y'all had it. For shedding tears for Dominique? No. No, that wasn't me. I think you have me confused. Quite literally, I was critical that after that he showed that kind of thing, but then in other instances was dry eye. But I didn't dismantle anybody. You guys gotta step into the same reality as me. Anyway, I don't know if you've seen the movie Tombstone, but at the end of the movie, the guys who used to carry the scarf around to indicate that they're a part of the gang, they attacked them so aggressively that they threw that when the guys would throw the scarves away, they knew that being seen with it meant that it was unacceptable and they were going to target them. This was the Wild West, so they would lawfully kill them. But, and I'm not suggesting we do that now, but I would make it extremely uncomfortable for you to be affiliated with any gang in this country. Now, among you who are right-thinking, sensible, or believe you are people, explain to me why we should give any comfort to people who want to be involved in organized gang culture. I'll wait on that one. Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Wendy's spicy means Wendy's spicy. Unlike the other guys, our spicy activates all your senses for a taste of Wendy's spicy. Try the new Chipotle Crunch Cheeseburger made with fresh beef or the new Chipotle Crunch Chicken Sandwich, both with delicious crispy jalapenos, Chipotle aioli, cheddar cheese sauce, and much more. Taste the Wendy's spice in every bite of irresistible Chipotle Crunch Chopped Fries too. Stop it today for the flavor you crave. Wendy's, different inside and out.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online. Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance. Anyway, with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Hello? Can you show you something else, boy? Who this is? Tamika? You ain't even remember my name? Wow, Dred.
Girl, I've been so busy. You still planning a trip?
Girl, and I can't wait. I right here online booking my car.
You dare planning trip. You vaccinated?
Girl, we had to. We ain't been nowhere since this pandemic started. Girl, and we got a 14-day vacation.
Best vacation ever.
Girl, are you though?
Well, I know you's gonna get the vaccine because you too like travel. When y'all get your vaccine?
Girl, long time. Because you gotta get your first dose, wait, then get your second dose at least 2 weeks before you travel. Johnny get his vaccine and he 12. Even Grammy get hers. Child, and Grammy say she ain't get no money. But I see her hiding not under the mattress.
Child, let me send my list because I know you going shopping.
Keisha, don't play with me.
Vaccinate today, live tomorrow. A message by PAHO, WHO, Canada, and USAID.
It's regatta time again with Sanda and the Rollville Development Association in Exuma for the 78th Rollville Regatta and Homecoming. All roads lead to Exuma, July the 28th through August 1st for $10 giveaways all weekend. Get ready for live performances, gospel night, battle of the DJs, boat sailing, mixology competition, and so much more. Come and hang out with the $10 team to learn about the Bahamian Digital Dollar. Use $10 at the regatta site to avoid having to worry about cash. Check out www.sanddollar.com. $10.bs for more information about the digital dollar.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM. My name is Will McCartney. Let's go to some text messages. So I can't do the selective outrage anymore. So I'm saying that if everyone's upset, then let's go ahead and press for some real change so that we can actually have better outcomes in this country and we can stop having children like Kenton Seymour Jr. Die needlessly. Because I just want to hear all the apologists for these guys who are just stone cone killers. I really want to hear them explain away how society at large is responsible for this four-year-old child being dead. I really want to help him understand, like, who put a gun in these guys' hand and let them go shoot at each other in the street? Or can we, like, step into the real world for a moment? This says, Juan, do you know how I know that we're really in trouble? When I watch the generation born after 1992 and now they're children. I stood by my window and watched a group of boys that passed by me. There are about 7 garbage bins through my corner before they passed me. They took the bottles and chip papers and dropped it directly in my neighbor's yard, the garbage directly in front of them. These kids are growing up with no respect and no pride and always feel they're entitled. My neighbor has a son that left school 6 years ago. Don't work, stay up all night watching TV. How will this play out for other law-abiding citizens? They don't even go to college or trade school. This will not end well. Man, it won't end well. It'll end badly unless we fix it. Yeah, this is Juan. You dismantled our good PM when he shed tears for Dominique. So what y'all think of Brave going to Haiti to solve their gang problem without first solving ours at home? So firstly, again, I'm not familiar with dismantling him. I don't know what he's crying about, to be real with you. It's, you know, tragic, but keep it together. Secondly, I'll say this briefly. If Mia Motley and our prime minister want to go to Haiti and they think that's going to have some positive impact on what the gangs are doing over there, I think that's a futile effort. Their gangs are worse than our gangs, all right? You can't get through to these guys here. You're not going to get through to them there. Firstly, they don't speak your language, okay? You guys speak English. Maybe y'all speak Creole. I don't know. They don't speak your language. They don't know who you are. And they don't care what their own government is talking about. They're, in fact, battling with their government for control of certain areas outside Port-au-Prince. So I don't know. I could be wrong. But if it's that they think they're going to invite, they're going to somehow go there and CARICOMs comes, we're going to have a truce after we've been butchering and beheading each other and chopping each other up to pieces. And we're all just going to put that down because Mia Motley and Brave Davis are here. And let's go to a big meeting and put down all the guns and let's figure out what our real issues are. All right? They're engaged in blood feud at this point. Okay? I don't think it's going to do anything. But if you want to say you tried, not a problem. As far as our gang situation here, I'm really concentrating on no talking no more. We've been talking around this a long, long, long time. I'm interested in children not dying anymore. And you guys, oh, this one got to do this more. Let's do more. Let's do more. I'm down. Let's do more. Let's all do more. That's what I'm about. This says, one, I've not seen Tombstone. Give a briefing on it. Okay, Tombstone, 60-second version. Okay, so the great Wyatt Earp decides he's going to get married and settle down and retire after many, many fights and deadly encounters being a sheriff in the Wild Wild West. He goes to a nice town called Tombstone. He goes and gets a stake in a gambling saloon after he kicks Billy Bob Thornton out of the saloon, slapping him like a G, and he gets a stake in the gambling saloon. But then there's this outfit, all right, called the Cowboys of criminals who were running roughshod over the town. Same time, the same time, Doc Holliday, all right, legendary gunslinger, he's in Tombstone, all right? And he helps, he teams up with Wyatt Earp to try to bring some order to Tombstone without actually being a lawman. They ask Wyatt Earp to be a deputy, to be a sheriff. He's a sheriff, his brother, and his other brother he deputizes, all right? The Cowboys won't settle down, all right? And finally, there's a showdown at the OK Corral. You ever heard of the showdown at the OK Corral? showdown at the OK Corral. They kill a bunch of the cowboys, and then they start going to war. They kill Wyatt, her brother, Wild Bill, Doc Holliday, gee that he is, starts taking out the cowboys. After they kill his brother, Wyatt Earp declares war on these guys, and he tracks down the cowboys, starts killing them legally, all right? And the cowboys throw down their arms. Wyatt Earp, meantime, he's married. I know I'm cutting into news, but this is important. Wyatt Earp's married, okay? And he meets an actress who's in town, all right? And he falls in love with the actress. His wife has a morphine problem. He's not really in love with her. He's in love with the actress, okay? And the, I'm serious, this is critical, okay? Meantime, Doc Holliday is being targeted by this cowboy called Johnny Ringo, and he calls out Wyatt Earp for a fight. Johnny Ringo is like the fastest gunslinger out there, right? And so Doc Holliday, Wyatt Earp says, I'm gonna go meet Johnny Ringo, all right, out by the tree in the prairie. And then instead of Wyatt Earp showing up, Doc Holliday's got lung disease, right? And he acts real sick and everything like this. They do a showdown, right? And Doc Holliday smokes Johnny Ringo. All right? Wyatt Earp leaves his wife, goes torn with the actress. He became a consultant on movie sets. Real guy. All right? Wyatt Earp's funeral. Earl Meeks, legendary Western star, came to the funeral. Earl Meeks wept. All right, let's go to news. We'll be back.
We're covered. I'm Ben Thomas with an AP News Minute. President Biden tested negative for COVID-19 last night. His doctor says he's free from isolation, so he went to the Rose Garden to talk about it this morning, noting he received the antiviral Paxlovid.
You don't need to be president to get these tools to use for your defense. In fact, the same booster shots, the same at-home test, the same treatment that I got is available to you.
The head of the World Health Organization is advising men at risk of monkeypox to consider limiting sexual partners for now. In Russia, the drug trial of basketball star Brittany Griner continued. Griner testifying, an interpreter translated only a fraction of what was said during her initial questioning. Employees at a Trader Joe's in Massachusetts are casting votes in an attempt to form the supermarket chain's first union. And on Wall Street, stocks have been higher since the open. Strong earnings from Google owner Alphabet, Boeing, and Microsoft lifting the mood. I'm Ben Thomas.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Again, I was speaking and my mic was not on. Good afternoon. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM. As I was saying, somebody called me during the break and corrected me or helped me to say that Doc Holliday was suffering from tuberculosis. That was the specific ailment. Tuberculosis, right? Don't worry. I haven't I haven't spoiled the entire movie for you. You'll still love it if you go see it. All right. But I just referenced Tombstone because they made the gangs so uncomfortable and targeted them so hard that they were afraid to be associated with the gang. All right. Like, I don't know if y'all are out here on the road. I'm not no street person. But normally, and I'm sure police don't love it, but it tells you how effective they could really be if they were, you know, if a confluence of things were to possibly occur. But out here, they refer to the police as the biggest gang there is. And a lot of these street guys say you can't win against the police because they got unlimited numbers and we don't. Right. So these guys don't really want it with the police. They don't mind regular people because they could get a regular person and they probably can stop coming. The police just can keep coming. All right. Let me do some of your images. Says, great show as usual, Juan. This is what I don't understand. The government of the Bahamas has gang laws. Why don't they implement it or simply take it off the books if they have zero intention on using it? I would use it. I would target them, seriously. That same prison, when we're talking about billing, I'd bill two of them. Y'all spend a lot of time there. I got programs for you. We all can learn how to read and write. We all going to get our high school diploma, our GED. We going to learn some carpentry. We gonna learn some auto mechanics. We gonna learn some mason work. All right. We gonna hear about Jesus and the gospel, whatever, you know, religious structural thing you wanna be a part of. We gonna let you see your family. You gonna be able to see your children and build strategic relationships with them. See them on a structured, supervised basis so that we can incentivize you to want to be a part of the community. And what we're also going to do for you, because we're going to go and lock up all the people who are smuggling drugs into the prison, so they'll be prisoners too, we're going to detox you. So we're going to get you off alcohol. We're going to get you off, what are y'all on out here? Lean, promethazine, marijuana, right? We're going to get you off of all of that. I don't believe marijuana is a dangerous drug, but I believe you certainly can abuse it. We have a lot of people doing that. So we're going to get you sober. Yeah. So we're going to get you sober. We're going to get you thinking straight. All right. And when we're able to get through to you, when you've had a chance to sober up, when you've had a chance to really understand the totality of your circumstances and where you are, and that this ain't a big game and that you just get bail for fun and that you are now convicted of a crime of being affiliated with a gang, but you have a pathway to get back to society. When you could pay attention and we could get you on that, then we'll start you along that path. And we want to rehabilitate you to become strong, productive members of society, even if you're not, you know, the so-called quote unquote elite. All right, we're going to give you a chance to work. We're going to teach you some plumbing. I told you this before. Y'all act like I'm Mr. Set for Life. My plumbers got it way better than me, pockets-wise. We're going to help you, right? But I can't help you while you're out here, high out of your mind. I can't help you. You charged up. You got a gun in your hand. I can't help you like that. All you try to do is get killed or you got to get locked up. But the problem with this is while y'all are killing each other, innocent people are falling. And that's the problem. So I was going to restructure the way I did all this. All right. Because we could pray for a generation. There's going to be two generations. So we could pray for a generation of mainly young men who have lost their lives. We could talk around it. All right. But unless we're willing to step in and make thousands of young men wards of the state, a lot of parents are going to have to kick in. And a lot of people are going to have to make better choices about how many children they have and under circumstances they have them. That's just my estimation. But we can help, right? But I can't help, like, pity patting a poor guy. I got to look. we're in a bad way. We're gonna lock you up for your own safety. We're gonna get you sober, get your thinking straight, and then we're gonna help you. All right, get you some farming, some gardening. You go anywhere. We give you some crown land if you need. You go down to Andros, Eleuthera. What's good farmland? Grand Bahama got some good farmland. And we're going to help you be productive. You don't need all that. You don't need to live like this. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Ron, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How's it going?
Yeah. You know, an observation. You know, 54 years ago, I was 15, right? You know, I came out of school, you know. And but even in that age, that I was in, I could see a clear path in terms of where, you know, a clear path in terms of where I wanted to go. You know, I had a very solid education. I believe the problem that our young men are facing is that, you know, because of the level of education of many of them, there is no clear path. Or or somebody ain't guiding them, you know, hey,
right,
go this way, don't go that way. You know, I think, you know, it starts off a whole problem, you know, if you heading off in life and you're heading off either in the wrong direction or you don't know where you're going. You know,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Agreed. Very much. Thank you. Thanks for calling. And this is part of it too. And so you're asking me, well, Juan, let's look at society. Well, let's look at society. Okay. So if we're just skipping over the parent, you and I had no conversation when you had this child. We didn't have a conversation about your financial circumstances. We didn't have a conversation about your relationship status. None of that. You had the child. Perhaps you did all that you could, and you weren't able to guide the child properly, or you even tried to guide the child properly. The child just went rogue. Fair enough. All right. You didn't want the state to intervene, because the state will intervene if you ask. Fair enough. Okay. The child is now a man. It does not have the necessary tools and understanding of the world around him to function properly. And the child is surrounded by criminal activity, and therefore they drift into that. All right, fair enough. So what does society do? So if I'm not raising your child, if I'm not a part of the decision for you to have your child, if there's no, you can have your child. That's the one thing we say to everybody, have your children, right? And that's not something we interfere with. If you try to terminate the pregnancy, we'll interfere. But we never say, don't have children. We never say, what's your level of education? Have you graduated high school? No, I haven't. Okay, well, no, you can't have children yet. No one ever says that. Right? If you want, if it's your body, and women, you learn this, a lot of times you're on your own, right? But you're still going to have to take care of the child because it's your child and you are connected to it. And a lot of men just aren't being responsible. Not all, a lot, right? So you've had this child. For some reason, the child was not properly brought up, didn't have the necessary life skills to function lawfully in society. There are limited opportunities, but again, we have many societies that have far fewer opportunities than here, but not as much crime and gun violence and murder. So since we couldn't get involved in the decision to have the child, since we could, you didn't ask us to get involved in terms of raising the child, we did get involved in terms of, if you cannot feed your child, the state will help. If you cannot clothe your child, the state will help. If you cannot afford to send your child to a private school, the state will provide schooling for that child up to and through the tertiary level. All right, so the mechanisms are there. And there are lots of people who are out there who are in disadvantaged circumstances who are broke. I'm not going to say poor. I'll say broke or poor. We could go with poor. They try to make a way. All right. And they use every mechanism they can of the state to do that, to help their children to succeed. All right. But not everybody's that strong. Not everybody can navigate the system that way. But if we weren't able to, the state wasn't able to be involved and do what the state should do to provide mechanisms for you and your child to be successful, and your child is now an adult, they're no longer your responsibility, but now they're wreaking havoc on the public and others, then the state must get involved. All right. And I don't want you to feel badly about this, but somehow the child was failed. And the child is now making decisions that the adult has to be accountable for. The child has failed. The adult is making decisions that the adult must be held accountable for. All right. You had your chance while raising the child. If that did not work, there's a point at which the state must get involved if your child is a danger. All right. So this thing, if you're on bail for murder, attempted murder, gun possession, if you come back before my court, you're going to stay with us. All right. And we can try to figure out how to have a speedier trial. As I said, we could put a lot of these gang matters before the magistrate's court, hire more magistrates, raise their salaries. All right. Again, let's go back to it. Emergency. What do you do when there's an emergency, right? What do we do with the COVID-19 pandemic? We suspend procurement rules. All right. We borrow as much money as we need to. We treated it like an emergency. All right. An emergency calls for you to pull out all the stops, for you to do what is necessary to make sure that that thing that is a clear and present exigent danger is stopped. All right. I don't know that we treat this like an emergency, but the state's going to have to get involved more fully. And that's just where we are. And I do think we need proper drug education. And I don't believe, and listen, no one rides harder for legalization of marijuana than I do. It's being abused, all right? You can abuse anything, all right? Just because marijuana is not some Schedule I drug like cocaine that'll cause your heart to stop doesn't mean you can't abuse it. You can abuse soda, all right? You can abuse macaroni and cheese. Don't tell me you can't abuse marijuana. You could abuse Tylenol, all right? It's being abused, and it's reaching far too many young people. I think part of the reason it's so easy for young people to get is because there's such a robust criminal market for it. And so we need to also don't create barriers to entry for people who have been convicted of drug crimes, nonviolent drug-related crimes, to get into the legalized marijuana industry. Also, I think that's important. We had another call, sure. Let's do that. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad. Mm-hmm. You know, Mr. McCartney, I've been to private school most of my schooling days, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, as it pertains to drug use in the private school, mm-hmm. they were there.
Yeah.
Cigarettes, smoking of cigarettes and everything.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no difference between the rich kid and the poor kid when it pertains to or even the professional people that smoke marijuana, use drugs, and the like. I would like to ask you: have you ever visited Proctor Prison?
I have, yes, numerous times.
And the big jail, the maximum security too, right?
I've toured the entire facility aside from the women's prison.
Right. So yeah. these are the conditions prisoners living in the Bahamas. You see, outside of the violent prisoners or the prisoners on and murder row and what you call it, death row and the like, or in that block where they have the murder, mm-hmm. the prisoners charged with murder. their prison is mixed up with all these people, you know. Mm-hmm. So you can take a man, send a man to prison for disorderly behavior, obscene language, child support, and he's exposed to these conditions, you know. And prison becomes like a university to crime. Uh-huh. You see, so my point is that we have a issue in this country where many of our youths are criminalized. They are criminalized and we fail to address it. You see now you know we have this issue with the drug violence, the drug, the murders, and gangs and the like. You know, but I say to you that these same people involved in these murders and the like, these people have families that are not involved in murders. You know, and these people, and this is a country, right? With a small country, and everybody know everybody. Everybody are like family, and see. So when you reprimand somebody that do wrong, you know, everybody feels it. You know, so what we need to do is just have one love, man. We need to love each other, and you know, and see that everybody is. We have to be our brother's keeper. You know, but anyway,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's all. See, one thing. See, I'm a builder. You know what I'm saying? I'm a builder. I have, like, my first trade was electrical. Was electrical, you know, trade. You know, and then I had some issues, you know, and I was unable to do. I lost my electrical job, right? And I started another trade. I went to masonry. You realize I was able to pick up that trade and use the tool after 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Right. And the helpers around me that influenced them. So all the helpers that was on the job with me, they did what I did, you know, and we learned several trades. We learned many trades. If the plumber come there, he couldn't work around us. We learned some of his work, but me hiring the young men today, man, it's difficult for them. They don't have, it's not in them, as well as they don't have the general education that I had. You see, that's the thing. You can't just say, well, because a guy just didn't do well in school, that he could do well in the carpentry field. You understand me? Or in the construction field. He can go so far, but he can only go so far. You see, and then you have to hold his hand. You have to help him. You have to pay him that he can live. You understand me? In a decent manner. It's hard out there, bro. Trust me. It's hard. I see many youths come to me, and they don't stay. They go. They try to go to another job. I see some that leave construction and went into the hospitality job. You know, guys with some of them had talent. Some of them was proteges of mine when they left, because the people that I work for did not see it fit to pay them a decent wage. Mm-hmm. So we have to understand what these youths are going through. You gotta really spend time with them and know what they're going through, sir. Understand them.
I got you. So, well, I got to move on, but I'll say this. You said they weren't paid a decent wage, so they went to another job where they were being paid more money.
No, right? They didn't get paid more. They feel like man, they fell in. They went to another job. Things would be better, but, you know, it wasn't any better.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And many of these same youths end up selling drugs on the street. They're not the bosses. They're not doing the murder, but they, you know, they selling the drugs. But you know, and many of them go to jail.
I know.
Some of them go crazy.
Yeah.
You know, they can't handle it. And then you have a lot of folks on that street that they just alcoholic. They ain't doing no marijuana or no how. They doing the alcohol and they ain't doing no killing or nothing. They ain't doing no crime. They waste it on the street. Many of them. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, I'm acutely aware of what's going on. I don't have all these gangland affiliations to know all their motivations, but I'm acutely aware of what's going on. In terms of you go sell drugs because you don't get paid enough on a job. I don't buy that one. There's no deal. Oh, you can't get paid at a hotel, come deal some drugs. It doesn't work like that, right? So if you choose to do that, then you should own that. And I think it's hard to have honest conversations when we start talking about, well, they ain't got no choice. I don't know if I buy that, right? Like, what choices are theirs to make? So we say when a man hits a woman, never do that, right? That's by choice. There ain't no discussion of the circumstance. There ain't no discussion of the outside factors, X, Y, Z. There ain't no discussion about that. It don't matter, right? But yet you break into someone's house. Well, let's look at all the factors. You start to deal drugs. Well, let's look at all what society said. People abuse children. Nobody discusses what may or may not have happened. Had you been abused before, X, Y, Z? There ain't never no discussion about it. It's just wrong. Don't do it. But yet you robbing liquor stores. Well, let's talk about what is mommy and daddy and, you know, the opportunities for education. What choices are yours to own? And what choices that you make are the fault of other people? How do you navigate that in any sort of honest way? And so that's why I don't know if we're having an honest conversation. Because certain things we go, you should always know not to do that. And then other times we go, well, he had no choice. I don't know if I buy that. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine, thank you. Listen, I have a question. I was listening to your plan if you was prime minister. I love your plan. However, I didn't hear anything in the plan for those who do revenge killing. And we have a lot of that in recent times. So what's your plan for that? Because the rehabilitation part sounds nice. However, we need some plan to deal with these I'll get you back situations.
Yeah, so yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Well, I'll tell you what, I haven't mapped out my entire plan for that. But there's this concept of restorative justice, where the person who commits a crime against somebody's family member or somebody, they go through a process, and other people can explain this better for you. They go through a process of communicating with the family, acknowledging what they did wrong, attempting to make it right, whether that's financial restitution, whether that's speaking about what they did, whether that's working within the community, and having that sort of restorative justice so that people on both sides feel as though something positive or at least some resolution came out of something heinous. Right. So I think that's a component that we could really look at.
Yeah, it sounds good. It sounds good because I think that's a major problem we also have along with everything else. There's so much revenge killing.
Well, let me show you something, not to cut you off, right? The guy who was murdered, the 47-year-old guy who was murdered yesterday, he was said to be on bail.
Exactly. Right?
So he would have been, had he not been granted bail, he would likely be alive. So that's something you got to look at, too.
Yeah.
But to prevent the revenge killing.
That's a good start, I guess, for dealing with the revenge killing part of it. Because that's something that, and you have people who have some long memories. Because I've heard people who literally waited until persons come out of jail.
Some people wait years and years and years. But I tell you what, if you accuse me of murder and you take me before the court and put my name out there, say, this is the guy who we believe did it, and you're telling me I gotta check in at the police station 3 times a week and be back home by 8 p.m. and all that, your chances, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And these guys seem to don't care. It's like everybody else know they can get, they don't care. They still walk the street. First, they be around people. You can't be around me. That kind of reputation. If I know you've been to court for something like that, I'm there and I'm like, no, sir, don't come around my...
Right. Correct. You can't bring none of that around me.
No.
So.
All right.
You, none of that. All right. Thanks so much. We'll go to a break. I'll tell my children, listen, don't bring that look like all the gang and the da-da-da-da-da, the illegal this and the lead. Don't bring that around my house. you got to find somewhere else to be. I trying to help you, but if, when you grown and you make any choice, don't bring that to me. Y'all ain't never see these people. Let me show you how cold this world is. And I don't like it, but it is what it is. When they find the drugs at your house, everybody going to jail. All right? If no one own up to it, everybody going to jail. Grammy going to jail. Great Grammy going to jail. The little, the youth, if you can't find a family member, they going to social services. Don't bring none of that around me. None. That's a choice I'm making. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
We're not always able to see the storms in life approaching, but we can take the necessary steps to be prepared to ensure the safety of ourselves, our loved ones, and our property. This hurricane season, trust J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers. We'll be here to help you get back on track in your time of need. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Nightlife Entertainment and 242 Party, in association with Playhouse Entertainment, invites you to get up close and personal with Jacquees and Tang.
Hey, what do you already know who it is? It's the one and only Jacquees.
Boy, Tank, Nassau, Bahamas, I will be in the building August 6th at the Fusion Courtyard.
For table and section bookings, call or WhatsApp 429-7017.
Ladies, let's get up close and personal.
It's a summer of love, up close and personal with Jacquees and Tang. Fusion Superplex Courtyard, Saturday, August 6th.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. They say we got another call holding. Let's do it, and then we'll get to some text messages. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution. No call holding. All right, no problem. That's fine. We'll go to the text messages. Let me just sort it out in my phone here. All right. This says, "Hey, Juan, that guy calls the shows a lot, and he's always positive and speaks about the poor constantly and why we should help the poor. But unfortunately, this is the real world, and from the Garden of Eden, or whenever you want to say civilization started, there's been disagreement, betrayal, anger, and murder. Yes, a livable wage is important, but all of these things are attached to your skill. This is the world we live in. If we want to be a socialist country where we pay people to stay at home, we will become a failed state. People choose their paths in life. Some work a lot harder than others. Thus, they are more successful. It's the ultimate cause and effect. But I encourage him to keep calling and to be honest. There's no measurement to determine who listened to the talk show and turned their life around yesterday, last week, or today. So keep encouraging men to change their lives. Absolutely. I mean, I encourage everybody. A lady called me and told me she heard a show I did and decided that she was going to go back to school and get certified in a particular field. And she did just that. She said she made that decision to change her life just off of one show. You got another caller. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay. I like your idea about when you become, if you become prime minister, and you say you're going to get in politics another 5 or 10 years?
No. I didn't say that.
But you should, you know, because and if you do, you're going to start a new party or you're going to oppose leaders in both parties.
If I do, I'm gonna go be leader of the PLP.
Leader of the PLP. why don't you volunteer now to be a consultant to them because they need help?
I'm going to consult them now. Ain't no volunteering. They got to pay. But,
no, I mean, you know, don't let them hire you. And you got good ideas, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
This is my first time calling this show, you know.
I appreciate you calling.
Yeah, sir. Go forward and do it now.
I'm going to think about it.
Okay.
All right. Like my grandparents were PLP. Wasn't everybody's grandparents PLP? I think they'd look. They'd be like, my uncle was a vanguard, though. They didn't care. My father was very supportive of the PLP earlier on, and then he was pretty supportive of. I think it's just because he had relationships, because Charles Carter used to be the MP. And he was friends with Charles Carter, and then Carl Bethel knew him well, and then Carl Bethel was the MP. I don't care. I don't want to do politics. We got another caller. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan.
How's it going?
I'm good. I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call. Juan, I think that with this situation with the crime, I think that I want to give us a solution. Hope that someone grabbed it.
Yeah, please. Certainly. Yeah.
We have to start training our children from grade school.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not okay to murder someone, to rob someone, to rape someone, and to steal from someone. And I think that has to be instilled throughout their schooling, even in the senior high school. Now, and another thing, what I think we need to do, even though as the youngest the children are, we have to teach them what the consequences when you break the law. Number three. Let's get some children, I don't care how young they are, and get some model prisoners who could and they could go up to that prison and they could see these men behind bars, and these men can tell these young men, listen, you don't want to come here because this is the last place you're going to come, because when you come here, ain't nobody know you no more. Ain't nobody your boy no more. Ain't no you ain't no gang no more. Ain't nobody checking for you no more. So you don't want to come here. And I think that's what we need to start doing, and furthermore, studying civics in school. Start teaching our children to be responsible citizens, because I think we have lost that. I mean, I grew up I went to CC's meeting in the 80s and 70s, and I've seen in my generation where we excel, but it seems like everything is going down, 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 and they think we need to bring those back. Back then, we had some very strong teachers. You know, back then, they was very strict. And so I think we need to start doing those things in order to give them a, give especially the young man in the school, give them a shock. Go into that prison to see what's going on.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I listen, I'm willing to try it. You know, I don't know how effective it is, but I'm willing to try it.
Yeah, I mean, it's way to try. I think they'll have some effect. Because if we save one, or we save a few, then that's a many.
I agree. Totally agree. We gotta try to save as many as we can. So my thing is throw everything at it, right? What we've talked about today is when it's too far gone now, when they are now a problem for the state because the family has no longer been able to deal with it. All right. So I think in terms of if you're dealing with it before they come to this place where we're dealing with it from a court standpoint and a bail standpoint and a jury trial standpoint, we're going to have to start doing some things differently. So we're going to have more of a sense of community. We're going to have more of a sense of interconnectivity, right? So growing up, like I wasn't a good student. I did a lot of stupid stuff in school and everything like that, but I was never crazy enough to go like, oh, I'm going to go commit crimes and do all this and da-da-da. Like that ain't never entered my head. One, you know, I'm a lame and I don't want to go commit crimes. Two, what was instilled in me, it didn't take for everybody I know, but what was instilled in most people I know was this concept of filial piety, right? So if you look at the concept of filial piety, there's societies in, you're going to come tell me about the Africa stuff, I'm forgetting again. But anyway, if you look at Japan, Korea, before they had the split, the concept of filial piety is a concept that is embedded in every family, it's embedded in every community, and it's embedded countrywide. So you have a duty. Filial piety is the concept of a sense of duty to your family. All right. Your life is your own, but your life is also interconnected to the lives of your family. Okay. So when you walk about the world, you're carrying your father's name, right? You're connected to your father, your mother. You're not only representing you, right? And so this concept of filial piety, they extend into the school and into the community, into the country, right? When you walk around here, you represent what Korea is, okay? So, and we ain't just accepting anything. Singapore, they do it too. When you walk, that's why Singapore, they ain't playing with you. You go spray graffiti on the train in Singapore and watch what happens. Go put some chewing gum something. They ain't playing with that, right? We don't do that around here. That ain't what we do in Singapore. The foreigner come, he don't know no better. Okay, you ain't gonna see no Singaporeans getting wrapped up in that. We don't do that, all right? And so the concept of filial piety, like, impacted me to the point where, and I wasn't always responsible with my actions, but when I did things that didn't make sense, I carried with me the burden of my interconnectivity to my entire family, like on both sides, right? And so it's not a tangible thing. It's an emotional thing. It's a conceptual thing, a sense of duty, all right? A sense of accountability for your family, your community, your country. But it's something that I think we've lost track of. So who do people feel accountable to now, right? So these young men walk around here and their sense of duty is to their gang, right? That's become their family. They don't care about them. They'll lead them into stuff that'll cause them to get murdered, but that's who they feel a sense of duty to. And so what I want to do is break any notion of duty, of filial piety to these gangs. And that's what I want to do. I want to wipe them out. I want them to not exist. I think we've had enough evidence compiled so far to say without intelligent contradiction that gang affiliation in the Bahamas has been a bad thing and we don't need gangs. All right. So I want to wipe them all out, not kill them, just eradicate the whole concept of illegal gangs involved in criminal activity and restore a sense of filial piety among our young people. You're going to have to get them involved in sports. You're going to have to get them involved in extracurricular activities. You're going to have to get them involved in, people go, I can't believe you were quoting poetry yesterday. You got to encourage them to read, encourage them to open their minds up, encourage them to write, encourage them to be artistic, right? And run them. That's what y'all need to do at every school. Everybody need to go to school at 7 a.m. And we can go, everybody got to run for 90 minutes for health-wise too. And we can get all that pep out of your step, right? We can run. They run, y'all. You ain't gonna do when all that calories get burned. You ain't got no energy to do nothing much but sit down and concentrate. but you can't not have activity and expect these kids to sit still for hours on it. We got a call or no? I got a lot of text messages. Let me just do that.
Good afternoon.
No, we got a call. Okay. Hey, afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Well, I mean, it's not personal. I listened to you so many years, and when you talk, sound like you're a white person. You not biased to other nations. The reason why I call you today, to speak that to you, only you I could speak that to, because I listen to you. You're very intelligent.
Now, thank you.
Those racketeering who live in the Bahamas, the Haitian and Bahamian, the government need to do with these fellas, especially the Haitian racketeering, the NAAD. They live in the Bahamas. They cause a lot of problems. I really tired, Mr. Warren, because the government in Haiti, they don't care. They don't care what time the Haitian live in Haiti. Only Bahamian try their best. Bahamian government try their best, Mr. Warren. They're in the water, they're in the land, they do everything. But those, Mr. Warren, those Haitian racketeering, they need to, Bahamian government need to find them, to jail them. Because the Bahamian, the government in Haiti, they don't check. They just in the parliament, they just up there, they thieving the people's money. They're checking. When they listen leaving, they don't know. But these racketeering, going to Haiti, make a business with these people, bring them to the Bahamas for $5,000. When they get to the Bahamas, another racketeering charging $5,000-$6,000 to U.S. These things, if the Bahamian government don't do something, but I understand, it's a small country, it's a small amount, they can't do anything. They need manpower to help them. These Haitian racketeering and the Bahamian racketeering, they cause a lot of problems, Mr. Warren. Thank you very much.
Thank you for shedding light on that. I appreciate that. I'm with you. I'm shut them all down. Haitian, Bahamian, whoever is involved in this criminality, this gangsterism, shut them all down. I don't know nobody getting no bly. I'm with you. Let me try to get through some of these text messages. There's a lot. I won't be able to get to them all. This says... Mr. McCartney, I was so touched by the murder of that child. I went to work and listened to John Lennon's song, Imagine. And the words of that song made me, I would like for you to end your show with that song, We Need Love in This Country, sent with Slam Effect. I don't know. Chris, can you find Imagine? We could play a little bit of it at the end if you can find it. I mean, it shouldn't be that hard to find. This is LOL Juan, say leader of the PLP, screaming out loud. I can't be leader of the PLP now. I'm Bahamian. It says Juan, Fred, and Alfred Sayers sucked their teeth when you said you want to be leader of the PLP. I know what y'all are gonna do. I'm just kidding around. All right. I think political parties do have merit, but I don't want to be the leader of any. It says study after study shows that crime is a result of poverty and inequality proven, but yet you talk nonsense because you don't want government to invest in these black areas. Which study after study? You think because you say that that makes it true? Show me the study in the Bahamas that says that crime is a result of poverty. Don't even show me that. Just tell me who wrote it. Tell me what year it happened. That shows that crime is a result of poverty. Poverty is a factor, sir or ma'am. But you have many places that have poverty that don't have as much crime as we do. All right, show me the study done in the Bahamas that proves crime here is a result of poverty. All right, let me know. And then we can talk. You don't want us to invest in black areas. Which area is the black area? Help me. Bainetown is the black area. What about... Seabreeze. What about Elizabeth? Is that a black area? Where's the government? Where the government built every house in Elizabeth? What black area are they not invested in? Let me know. You want to make a point, but you don't know what you're talking about, and you don't have any a proof that poverty is directly linked with crime. I think you would find more proof that crime is linked from the aspiration to a better lifestyle that some people who grow up in poverty might have. All right. So I'm just going to say you don't know what you're talking about. because you always talk this black white stuff. You don't know what you're talking about. One, when the culprits see politics as a Netflix is the house of cards, being the order of the day on our smaller scale, then they just get loose. Woe to us, new solutions. Nothing says that it makes sense. This is simply what they're choosing. Part of the battle is knowing their motivations, not excusing it, but knowing why. The solution is showing them the fallacy in their reasoning and the alternate way and hope. One, several times I spoke to the young man who was shot in Pinewood. He was just hell-bent on trotting that lifestyle. I told him most persons who run that gang route rarely make it to 35, or they spend a life in and out of prison. So sad. Like, it really bothers me when people say this stuff. Do you want poverty in your country? No. But to pretend that people who are poor have no agency over their own lives, and to compound that by saying that poor black people have no control over the direction of their lives, it is such an insulting, racist notion that is rooted in this outdated concept of the white man's burden. I'll recite Rudyard Kipling to you one day about the white man's burden, right? That black people are not capable of taking care of themselves, so someone else must take care of them. It's so incredibly offensive, and it has been used for so long by racists that I find it insane that we adopt their narrative. We can do for self. Go listen to Marcus Garvey. Go read up on him. All right? Please, stop this. Stop infantilizing black people as though we cannot do anything without government help. We're black and we're poor and we're doomed if someone doesn't come bail us out. It's insanity. Is there injustice? Yes. But it's nonsense. It's an insult to everyone who came before you who was black and poor and able to make something of their life. Stop it. You sound crazy. You're using a narrative that's been historically pitted against you to demean your own people. I want you to stop. We got to go. I can't get to our text messages. You guys take care. In fact, I will talk about the white man's burden one time and tell me how familiar it sounds when I talk about it and this concept of eugenics and all this stuff like that. You guys don't even know when you're being used. You don't even know. It's so sad. We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk, Lord willing. We'll talk with Chef Simeon Hall Jr. And we'll speak to whatever issues that are going on in the country that we can. All right. You guys take care out there. Have a great day, Bahamas.